Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. There's been a major shift in the right direction by some of the largest companies. We have got that story, plus COP29 cometh. But first, I bet you we get a brand new Tool album by next summer now. Trump wins White House in massive political comeback. This coming from the Associated Press. Donald Trump was elected the 47th president of the United States on Wednesday. An extraordinary comeback for a former president who refused to accept defeat 4 years ago, sparked a violent insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, was convicted of felony charges, and survived two assassination attempts, really like a real gangster. With a win in Wisconsin, Trump cleared the 270 electoral votes needed to clinch the presidency. The victory validates his bare-knuckles approach to politics. He attacked his Democratic rival Kamala Harris in deeply personal and misogynistic and racist terms as he pushed an apocalyptic picture of a country overrun by violent migrants. The coarse rhetoric, paired with an image of hyper-masculinity, resonated with angry voters, particularly men in a deeply polarized nation. In state after state, Trump outperformed what he did in the 2020 election, which Harris failed to do as well as Joe Biden did in winning the presidency 4 years ago, which does have a lot of people talking again about how it is now abundantly clear that Joe Biden didn't get 81 million votes in 2020. They cheated. Trump won that election as well, and the lack of Democrat turnout was because those voters maybe never existed. It is harder to rig when more people show up, James, aside from them maybe being baby-eating Satanists and lizard people. The game works more when more people show up. Trump declares victory for greatest political comeback in American history after astonishing election night sweep. That's the headline from the Daily Mail. And if I've made the analogy on New World Next Week before, I forget, James. Rigging elections is a little bit like weather manipulation. They can steer it. They can sort of move storms and hurricanes and hopefully seed them a little bit. But I don't believe they can invent a tornado that comes and knocks on your door and comes and kills you. Not yet, anyway. They can steer things in certain directions. But again, if a bunch of people show up, it's a lot harder to rig. And it looks like a hat trick. They got the House, they got the Senate, which controls both houses of Congress, and they got the presidency. It was just jubilation. Trump supporters revel in his victory. That is the headline from the New York Times. And James, a longtime West Virginia homie texted me last night, unprompted by me, yeah, maybe we can fix the damn economic issues with capitalists running the country again. I'm so done with woke bull bleep. Men are kind of sick of being the devil and being masculine is somehow evil. And that was maybe a little bit of my feeling. I don't know if we talked about this off mic, James, after I visited family in West Virginia in September. I started to get the feeling that maybe this was going to be one of those silent majority type of situations because they've realized they're going to get yelled and screamed at by their family and in-laws and friends on social media. I think they stopped saying anything and stopped posting anything and stopped talking anything and let the left be the ones to constantly talk about Trump. And I think they just kind of went in yesterday and voted for him. And I guess because no one concedes on the night of anymore, apparently, James, we were speculating. My memory in 2000 was that even that Al Gore came out that night and said, hey, we don't know yet. We're going to keep fighting. Have a good night. But we don't do that. Harris to concede to Trump after election loss. That was the lead up and then live today. And I even just aired it live in the middle of my music mix on Media Monarchy. In concession speech, Harris says, when we lose an election, we accept the results. Didn't sound that way from a lot of the callers on C-SPAN. James, C-SPAN is like the talk radio of political TV. It's like, are we going to put this dude on the air? It's like, yes, we are. And it just goes out live. It's pretty unfiltered and awesome. And I wonder, it's the meme sphere sorcery, James, might really be operating on some kind of crazy other level. A squirrel ran across the stage while everybody was waiting and waiting and waiting for Kamala Harris's concession speech, because maybe this whole victory was for Peanut Squirrel, James.
Maybe. I didn't hear about the squirrel on the stage, so there you go. Luckily, I haven't.
Okay, but you've heard about the death of the celebrity squirrel.
Yes, by the state of New York. Yes. Okay. Everyone's heard about Peanut. Come on. Yeah. All right. Well, James, everyone knows what I'm going to say about all of this, and they could predict it all in advance, and they know that I'm going to point them to articles like Kit Knightley's recent op-ed on the fakest election of our lifetime goes to the polls, or John and Nisha Whitehead's post-election truths, the things that won't change no matter who wins, or I will point to NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte talking about this, saying that NATO will stay united whoever wins the U.S. election. And, of course, I will point to the military-industrial complex deep state that always runs the show and always will, who just happened to decide to test their hypersonic nuclear missiles in the hours after the selection took place. Interesting. All right. What kind of message is being sent out there? Well, the Daily Fail says World War III fears. So there you go. Make sure everybody's afraid all the time is, of course, the number one way of doing it. But having said all of that, and I could even get into the deeper point about all of this, which is, hey, I don't know, if I was a member of the deep state that wanted people to keep going to the polls and keep trust in the system, I would make sure, yep, see, Donald Trump won. See, guys? It's fine. It's not rigged. You voted harder, and it worked. So vote harder in 2028, guys. That's the lesson. And millions upon millions upon millions of people will truly believe that in their heart of hearts. So, mission accomplished for the deep state. But, no, I won't say any of that, because we are going to have 4 years to document the deep state globalist agenda rolling forward as if nothing changed whatsoever. There will be plenty of time for that. But the people who need to hear that message are not listening right now, and they're not going to listen to a thing I'm going to say about this. So I am going all in, 100%, Team Deep State, Musk, Thiel, Palantir, Starlink. I am 100% on board. I'm drinking the libtard tears. Go cry in your transgender woke bathrooms, libtards. Yeah. We won. We won. We won. America. Yeah. I am going to go 100% all in. I'm totally Team Trump, guys. Remember to subscribe to the Corbett Report so you can get all your Team Trump information over the next 4 years. I'm going to be so hard on the Trump train. I'm going to be totally telling you all the truth about what's happening with the Trump administration. So subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Give me some of those Ameribucks before they're converted into PBDC. None of this CBDC, central bank digital currency. No, no, no. Trump doesn't roll that way. It's going to be private bank digital currency, and it's going to be so much better, guys, and I'm going to be here to document it for you, so subscribe, subscribe, subscribe! James?
Where did you get that shirt?
Attentive viewers will remember that I busted it out for my Elon Musk technocratic hipster episode.
Well, and remember, and I forget which, you know, Patsy frontman was in D.C. at that point, but we learned years back that the Federal Reserve is above the presidency. All those things that, again, that will continue to go on. I'm sure, and this is really interesting, James, to hear callers into C-SPAN this afternoon that were Democrats that said, I can't support genocide. Do you think Trump is going to stop that in Israel? He's never done it before. He only fans the flames and made Jerusalem the capital. So you got the Federal Reserve above the president, Federal Reserve, Israel, all that stuff will still keep rolling along. Thomas Massie, maybe, as the Secretary of Agriculture. I'm looking for the bright lining moments.
I am holding my breath, waiting for RFK to scrap all the vaccines. We'll see. We'll see.
We will see, indeed. And, you know, stock market was booming today. Bitcoin was booming today. It is reaching, I think it's at all-time highs, pretty much. James, the other thing I was going to ask you before I initially threw it back to you was, did our election get more coverage than Shohei Ohtani winning the World Series recently?
Well, that's an excellent question, but that would be predicated on me watching the legacy dinosaur media news here, which I tend to avoid, so I honestly don't know.
Well, I believe you did say that it was kind of a big deal with Shohei a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you couldn't avoid Ohtani, but I have avoided the selection, so I guess that's the answer.
Okay, that's like saying, like, oh, you missed it. It's like, I wasn't there, but I didn't miss it. That's how we get going on New World next week, episode 571. In other bits of good news, glyphosate levels decline in oats. Grabbing this from gmwatch.org. And again, for 15 years, everything we talk about on these shows always linked up down in the show notes. After years of being detected at alarming levels, the pesticide glyphosate is being found at lower levels on average in cereal and other oat-based products that children and adults enjoy. This according to tests by the folks at the American Nonprofit Environmental Working Group, EWG. They believe its calls for an end to the pre-harvest use of glyphosate on oats may have helped to drive the change. EWG reports, however, that this toxic chemical is still showing up in other brands of cereals and oat-based products. 30% of items tested show high amounts of the pesticide, and it's possible that the decline in the pesticide levels that EWG is seeing is the result of pressure on farmers by grain traders to grow their crops without glyphosate and certain other pesticides of concern. A farmer based in Canada circulated a document that the Canada-based leading agricultural processing and distributing company, Adroit, is asking to its supplier to sign up. They're basically trying to get people to sign up. Now, not to win $1 million from Elon Musk, but to sign its supplier farms. In signing, the farmer promises not to use certain agrochemicals that, while approved for use in Canada, quote, may result in residues that are not acceptable in certain export markets. The banned chemicals include glyphosate when applied to oats. Other proscribed chemicals include, good googly moogly, glufosinate, ammonium, cormaquat, and several others. It's good when you can't pronounce their nasty poisons. You should hit those words and go, I don't know what that is. And other chemicals when applied to a wide variety of crops, namely good things that you can pronounce, like barley, beans, buckwheat, canola, fava beans, flaxseed, lentils, mustard seed, oats, peas, rapeseed, rye, and wheat. Those are good. Those are the good words. Most U.S. imports of oats actually come from Canada. I didn't know that, James. It's possible that the drop in glyphosate levels seen in oats bought in the U.S., are being driven by enforced farmer abstinence in Canada. Henry Rollins, director of the Detox Project, which carries out glyphosate testing for citizens in the food sector, agrees. There's been a major shift in the right direction by some of the largest agricultural companies in Canada when it comes to pre-harvest spraying of glyphosate. James, not unmitigated good news, just straight up good news.
Yes, indeed. And you're exact. That's such an important point. Here's a story that's a million times more important than the previous story, but will get 1 million times less attention and coverage and interest. Who cares? Whatever. Big deal. Because people like to think that ticking a box in a booth at once every 4 years is the most important thing in the world when it will change nothing. Whereas things that can actually, truly, really, tangibly, measurably change in the real world, that's a lot of work. And besides, it's not like it's all gone overnight. Therefore, it's completely worthless that it's heading in the right direction. Anyway, people who understand this story understand its importance. People who don't understand this story, I will not only recommend they go back to the GM Watch article that we're linking to here, which is where I got the story, which is why we're linking to that one, but to the EWG article that article links to, which is the source of this. They're the ones that do this testing, and they've been doing it for the past 4 years, and they have been finding the declining levels. So they break it in the EWG article into the good news. After years of being detected at alarming levels, the pesticide glyphosate is being found at lower levels on average in cereal and other oat-based products that children and adults enjoy, because glyphosate has been linked to severe health problems. The bad news, this toxic chemical is still showing up in popular brands of cereal and other oat-based products. So we're not there yet, but things are heading in the right direction. And again, this is tangible, measurable, provable, and they show the graph of their testing, and they show the 2018, 2019, 2022 results. And there's been a marked and visible drop in these levels. Good, we're heading in the right direction. And why? What is driving the change? As the EWG article points out, as GM Watch was pointing out, there have been a number of initiatives, pushes. EWG doing this testing has resulted in pressure on companies. Kellogg's came out with a pledge saying that they will source their oats from growers who don't use glyphosates. There's a Canadian initiative called Keep It Clean, which advises grain producers that some grain buyers may not accept cereal crops treated with pre-harvest glyphosate. There's the pledge going around that you talked about. So there's a lot of pressure that is building about this. And I put this in the same category, for example, as the bovine growth hormone milk example that I've talked about many, many times, Posilac. They were trying to put bovine growth hormone in the dairy supply in America, for example, and it was basically in all the milk products you were buying for a little while, until there was some growing awareness, there was a growing campaign, there was growing pressure on companies, and Walmart and all of these other chains had to pledge, okay guys, we won't use BGH milk. And now it's difficult to find the BGH milk because there was this concerted campaign. Hopefully things are going in the same direction as glyphosate. I know, it's a long and drawn out and boring process, and it doesn't involve ticking a box every 4 years and having a little celebration on a stage. But this is what actual change looks like. And I am, you know, hats off to the people who are doing this and bringing attention to this issue. I think it's important. And it's one of the most baseline levels of everything that we can be doing, is making sure we are eating healthy foods. Because exactly as you say, if you can't pronounce the name of the ingredient, you probably shouldn't be ingesting it, right? That's just a good rule of thumb. It's not 100%, but it's probably close. So let's see how much we can push the needle back towards some sort of actual healthy organic foods, and hopefully get people thinking about what they're putting in their body. So I agree. Not unmitigated good news. Easy for me to say.
It's the economy, stupid. I think the same reason the election went the way that it did is that lofty arguments about this and that don't really matter at the end of the day when people are just worried about what they're going to eat and pay in rent. And it's bizarre, James. Half of the folks are blindly in love with the dude, but then we have the other half blindly in hate with the guy. And it's a shame because a lot of those people used to fight with us against pesticides. People marched with us against Monsanto, trying to get food labeled. The things that we worked on when we were in Portland, maybe tilting at windmills or misplaced energy, some of it may now be as we look at it a decade later. But those folks are gone, man. I mean, I think I've told you off mic, you know, my wife literally getting into arguments with people that used to be anti-GMO, suddenly now being pro-big pharma vaccines. Again, it's the same bunch of corporations. Where did all those Democrat friends go? It's a question we've been wondering. Our third and final story, James, I know where they are. They're jetting off to a climate conference in their private jets. COP29, 1 week to go, new collective quantified goal. Taking this from climateaction.org, a week today, COP29 will kick off in Baku, Azerbaijan. Easy for me to say, and I was going to make the joke earlier. If I can't pronounce it, maybe because it's Portuguese and I don't speak Portuguese, not because it's some weird patented lab name they made up. There's, again, the different types of pronunciation difficulties. Getting Babbel or, Rosetta Stone isn't going to help you pronounce their poison patented chemicals. A week today, COP29 will kick off in Baku, Azerbaijan, where the climate finance landscape is expected to shift with the establishment of the new collective quantified goal, NCQG. Those are tough letters to say. The NCQG aims to replace the existing $100 billion annual climate finance target set way back in 2009 with a more ambitious goal that considers current climate vulnerabilities and increased funding needs in those poor developing countries. Projections suggest that developing economies will need around $1.1 trillion by next year, rising to $1.8 trillion by 2030, with the private sector expected to play a more substantial role than before. On November 14th, the COP29 presidency will host a series of events on finance, investment, and trade day. Within this, global financial system, scaling up financing for climate action, will outline discussions about the global financial system's role in mobilizing private sector investments for climate adaptation and mitigation, emphasizing the need for consistent climate result measurements and new financial structures to crowd in private capital, especially in developing countries. Again, we might need our Bilderberger pharmaceutical Trump supporters like Thiel. The Climate Action Innovation Zone will take place 13 to 15 November, bringing together the private and public sector, government representatives, climate leaders, and civil society organizations. Transforming the climate finance landscape is embedded throughout the agenda with a variety of panels, dialogues, and inspiring keynotes. James, did I just read an inspiring press release?
You sure did, and you did it with gusto, so thank you for that. Yes, yes. Well, you know, this... So, I have seen a lot of the COP29 build-up kind of coverage, and there's been emphasis on different things. For example, Azerbaijan is utterly unfit to host the UN's climate change conference, talking about the hypocrisy of an oil-rich nation hosting this conference and blah, blah, blah. Or, for example, we could follow up on a previous New World Next Week story. Remember that scientists had discovered, oh, actually, plants are absorbing 31% more CO2 than we thought. Well, guess what? For the second time in a week, climate scientists surprised with an increased CO2 absorption mechanism. This time, it's the oceans seem to be swallowing up 7% more CO2 than previously thought. So, let's add that up. How much now are they off by their estimates, and why should we believe what the weather is going to be like in the year 2100? But anyway, also, we could also point to stories like this one. Science shock. UK Met Office is inventing temperature data from 100 non-existent stations. Somebody using a Freedom of Information request, harkening back to my recent Solutions Watch episode, got the list of temperature stations that the UK Met Office is using to put their temperature records together. And lo and behold, 100 of the stations don't even exist. They're totally making it up, totally making fabricating data. So, excuse me, I can barely contain myself when it comes to stories like this, because it goes to show the entire thing is an absolute scam, top to bottom. Luckily, everyone knows that, and so we get stories like this one. Celebrate! The world is ignoring the UN emissions edicts. Global CO2 emissions are increasing to record levels. China fakes being green as it still burns more coal than the rest of the world. And you can look at the numbers, and pretty much every major developed nation CO2 production is still going up. So, yay! People don't care. They're not... Who cares? Again, it's like the FANG going nuclear. We need the power for AI, so who cares? We can mouth the green platitudes. But this article that we're talking about here, this press release, which you just so admirably read, is, I think, the real point of all of this. It has nothing to do with saving Mother Earth. Absolutely nothing. They're inventing temperature data. They're ignoring the CO2 emissions limits, because that doesn't matter at all. What matters is the giant green trough, the multi-trillion dollar trough that they are creating right now, that they are creating the entire climate finance system around. And it's about the monopolization of the world's resources for their benefit. And who are they? It's everyone who's not us. And that, of course, includes all the John Kerrys and John Podestas and whoever seems to be in that nexus right now. But in the next administration, I'm sure it will mouth the kind of platitudes, hey, screw the UN, we don't need them anymore. But hey, does anyone remember back in whatever it was, 2017, or when Trump pulled out of the Paris Agreement, and at that time, Musk quit the advisory board in protest? Because he couldn't... I'm old enough to remember when Musk was the trendy hipster liberal, as opposed to the trendy hipster dark MAGA guy that he's pretending to be right now. Anyway, as I say, we have 4 years to document what's going to happen as a result of all of this. But the point is, they're creating the trough right now, and it's a total, complete fraud. They don't even pretend to believe it, but they think you are stupid enough to believe it. But James, we know that the audience is smarter than that, and they can see through this crap like we can.
Oh God! What are they going to do to Ron Paul? They're pulling him into the Trump orbit. Good grief, James! As somebody said this morning in my chat, Chalice said it in the chat. I was playing clips from from the defeat and the calls and C-SPAN and the speeches and all that stuff. Somebody, Chalice said in my chat, the climate doesn't need you to stand up for it. The climate, I think as St. Carlin said, the planet is going to be just fine and maybe doesn't need you to go out of your way to try and help it. Same thing as, you know, we talk about bands. Man, I like bands that didn't tell me to vote or how to vote or what medicine to get to be allowed to see them in concert. And the same thing, James, I don't need worldwide NGO climate scams to gaslight me into knowing that wasting food or littering is a sin. Those are already things good, regular people know about. And hopefully we can continue to document these things, James. For now, over 15 years here in Media Monarchy, I need to wrap this thing up. I got to go check on Mark Hamill. James, you got to grant us a little bit of the laughs here over in the States. It's a lot of buildup, and you got to have some jokes to kind of come down as we, hey, the New World Next Week laugh. NewWorldNextWeek.com is your source for Corbett Report. Tukes, James, I do believe we just got in a big box of Corbett Report hats. I have not even seen them yet. But I'm not wearing this for show. It did pretty much turn winter here in northern New Mexico. I was going to open the episode and say, coming to you as always from the chilly climes of northern New Mexico. But NewWorldNextWeek.com, again, has all the ways that you can support both of our works. I've got a bunch of music mixes and radio shows up there as well, and they're ways that have kept us, again, fear-free and ad-free. James, good grief. We can't make it through a presidential election season without somebody major or prominent in alternative media completely committing suicide. And I have not watched the interview with Giuliani, but I don't have a lot of hope from folks, again, who were good fighters in this. Same thing as I'm wondering where Julia from the March Against Monsanto went. I'm wondering where Jason from 9/11 Truth went. It's bizarre, man. It's bizarre, and we've been here for a long time. And again, I don't make it my business to go crap on other alt media creators, and they don't do it like I do, or blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's interesting, and it's a lot. And as I say oftentimes, I may not be the best, but I think my passion and I think the cred shows through, James.
Yep, I hear you. Other people are going to do whatever they're going to do. We'll continue doing what we've always done. And every few years, depending on who's in office, different people will hate us and call us the devil. Oh, well, I'm used to it by now. Anyway. All right. Well, looking forward to doing it again next week. Thanks again. And just, yeah, side note, Brock did have his baby, so everybody give him congratulations. And that means I am doing this week's edit, which is why it is so slapdash and why you will look forward to Brock's return, as we all do. So congratulations, Brock. And thank you, James, for doing what you do.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.